Allegro WIPR 91.3 FM presents Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, a fresh new way to look at events with our well-being in mind.
Welcome to Reflections, your host Jorge Gonzalez. Hope you've had a good day if it's Thursday. Wishing you a good day and buenos dias. It's the repeat program on Friday. I have my repeat guest. It's been quite a while. Maybe 3 or 4 months. I know.
Yes, more like
Silvia Fernandez Colorado, doctor, Dr. Soul. We had a great session the last time. And I had in my mind, there was an area that she mentioned about gentle teaching. And it seemed to fall within this area of Proyecto Rotario Pro Paz and well-being and peace. And I kept in my mind, I said, I have to get Silvia back for her to explain to me what this gentle teaching is all about. And, of course, in this particular moment in Puerto Rico's situation, emotional situation, the whole area of creating peace and our well-being is even more important, and we're concentrating now on adolescents, but I think it's all the way across, from the baby to the senior adult, terminally ill. It goes all across, the need for us to help people feel better. And so, welcome, Silvia.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again, Jorge.
and to my great surprise, she brought a book because I thought it was a concept. She told me that she had, studied and certified in it, but I had not realized. I know she had written 3 books, but I'm not sure she mentioned what they were, but I didn't have them consciously in my mind. But she brought the book, so three books is Gentle Teaching,
A Philosophy of Life for a Culture of Peace. It's okay. One of them.
And I mentioned to Silvia sort of the share, a recent book that I read and we discussed last week in the program, For When I Am Gone by Steve Letter, a rabbi. And I thought that the kind of start the program, I told, what would you, and that's the way I ended my program last week.
Uh-huh.
And I said, what would you want your epitaph to say? and she said, well, what did you say? And I said, well, I gave a lot. It was a tough question because it's a very short little statement that you can put on your tombstone. I mean, you can't write a book.
No. Well, you could.
No, but
scan this code, QR code.
You could put a QR code. That's not a bad idea for today. Yeah. But I came up with the following. He tried to distinguish what one can and should change in order to improve himself and others. That was, try to say what moves me most, and I hope people will think, was what.
Let's say it again so that they get the message.
He tried to distinguish what one can and should, which is even more important, change in order to improve himself and others. There's that statement, God help me distinguish, what I can
difference.
And what I cannot change, and to know the difference. Mm-hmm. That's kind of that one. So it's not it's not very original. And then, of course.
But it's important.
And then the other is, the importance, first of all, of improving yourself. And that's why I have this program.
To help others.
to help improve others. And at the time, at the same time I'm having this program and discussing how we can improve, I'm improving because
Definitely.
Every time I come in, I have something like somebody like you, I improve. I learn from you. And that's it's symbiotic.
It's an ongoing process, learning from each other every day.
And there's this I mentioned, and you were kind of surprised, but one of the book I did know, and I stole it from her.
You didn't steal it. You didn't steal it.
It's
one of the other books.
Yeah. So I said, you know, because you had about three or four copies. I said, can I have this one? And she said, she looked.
Oh, I remember now.
Your look wasn't, you know,
at the Rotary
I'm not
Club.
That happy, but I guess I got to say yes. But it's basically finding balance and meaning every day. And it's 365 positive thoughts. And by Silvia M. Fernandez Colorado, PhD. She has a PhD in both clinical and in industrial psychology. And and you know, with respect to the number 170, I've been reading, you know, off and on, usually taking them by groups of 10, and then choosing one or two as we've gone along. Along with, you know, what a nuevo día, and para comenzar tu día. I use those as a every once in a while. I don't. It's not not consistent, but pretty often I use them. And 117 says, you know, move always towards self-improvement, for it will give you personal peace and harmony with the world. Mm-hmm. And that's 117, and that's pretty close to my epitaph.
Yes, it is.
And the number second says, 118 says, allow others to take control of their lives as you take control of only yours. Which basically, you know, try to keep
stay out of everybody else's.
But, you know, there are a lot of people, and, you know, grandchildren and children and associates in your law firm and all walks of life in all the areas that do want to improve and do want to learn from you. But it's a very subtle, you know, what can you change and what you should change. And even with your spouse, it's an ongoing, what's it called?
Growth.
Query and difficulty, you know, just, okay, I'm not going to be able to change this. Let's live with it. I've got to be the changing person.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's not an easy yes or no. It's an ongoing, you know, continues. I'm 81 and I'm still struggling with you know, what can be changed and what should I try to change is a constant struggle. But so I gave you my epitaph.
Yeah.
And I gave you a forewarning.
Yes.
And you
yes.
you kind of copped out. You said, well,
I
said, well, they can put whatever
they want. They can put whatever they want. I'm going to be gone by then.
Sylvia, don't give me that cop out. What would you like people to, if it's not on your epitaph or as Steve Covey says, statements, you know, whether you're there in you know, the funeral and they're talking about you or you have 7 days to live and dealing with people at Rotary and at home and your parents and your children, you know, whatever. What would you want them to think
to remember
about?
Remember me by or something like that.
Whatever, put it as you want. So, well, let's put it the epitaph, which is a really short one, and don't cop out on me.
Okay, well, I think a friend of mine put it in the correct words when he said one time when he was introducing me to people on my first book, he said something around the lines of, she has a problem, and her problem is she's obsessed with happiness.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. So I think I like that. She was obsessed with happiness.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So how do you define, how do you define happiness? I'm going to give you the last podcast that I was listening yesterday and today is this, I told you I wasn't too impressed. The Happiness Lab with Laurie Santos is one of my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, I don't remember the name, and if I did remember, I wouldn't tell it but this particular English, I guess,
speaker.
Psychologist, you know,
okay.
You know, yeah. And he defined happiness as feeling comfortable, which is the simplest, you know. And then the person who was interviewing, or, you know, the moderator said, is it okay to say to feel okayed, you know, to feel okayed? He said, well, if that word existed, that's pretty good. But to feel, you know, comfortable. Okay. But what would you be your, you know, you've strive for happiness and how would you define
yes, but
happiness?
I am so easily impressed. I am so easily feeling happy. I don't know where this comes from. Maybe I have some kind of disorder that they haven't added at the DSM.
Well, you know, they say that 30 to 40% of feeling happy to a great is genes, genetic. You know, mm-hmm. that some of us, and I think you and I now that we're talking to each other, we're blessed, is another word.
Oh, yes.
With you know, being positive, feeling happy, being, you know, and that is a genetic predisposition. That the science says, you know, and everything I read in this particular podcast is the same thing. He said 30. There's another one. Person said I've heard as high as 40, which doesn't answer the question, because even people who have that predisposition and the if they don't take care of it, they can go south. And there's still, you know, 60-70% of that open area to develop, you know, happiness. So, I think we could put down as a fundamental that you basically from as long as you can remember, you've had a happy disposition.
Yes.
You've been positive.
Yes, and I give 99% of the credit to my mom. I think I mentioned it in the last interview with you, that my mom always woke me up in the mornings with, she knocked on the door, she entered the room, gave me a kiss good morning, until I was 26 that I left her home. Mm-hmm. So I think that is very precious. Many parents these days, they wake up their children either with their own phones, mm-hmm. alarm, or they're yelling, we're late, or knocking on the door really, really
banging
hard.
Banging on the door.
Banging on the door is the correct word. So how can we live a little slower in the mornings? Mm-hmm. I tell parents, if you have a child, sing to them in the mornings or hum a song. Just the humming has been proven to help so many organs.
Yeah.
Scientifically proven.
And you say the kiss, but I used to love just you know,
brushing their hair.
Just patting their heads, yes. You know, and their shoulders, yes. And just, you know, slowly their cheek, and
yes.
You know,
ask how many parents do that these days.
You were telling a story, you know, jumping in that of a person that brought to you was, you know, as a psychologist, and in terms of you know, how proud they were of their interaction
with their parenting skills, and they were worried.
Tell the story.
This mother, this was many years ago, and now I do more coaching, no psychology anymore, but this lady, she said, Sylvia, I don't know what's wrong with my children. You know, I make it a point to spend time with them weekly. Not daily, weekly. And then I raised an eyebrow like, And then I let her finish and I said, well, explain to me, how is it that you spend this time with them? Well, Sylvia, every Friday, I spend 2 hours with my children. Either we go for a movie or we watch TV together or we cook something. 2 hours every Friday. That's nearly nothing.
And she was proud.
What can you tell me? And I said, I have no words. I had no words. I was astonished. I was afraid for the children. I was afraid that she was thinking that this was enough.
Right. She was sure. Well, she more than enough.
She was thinking like, what's wrong with my children? It's not me. It's my children. Yeah, what's wrong with? Yeah. And I said, well, maybe a psychologist can help you deal with that. Because I was afraid.
You punted.
I was afraid to get in there and tell her, this is nothing. You're doing nothing, absolutely nothing.
Okay, now you're not going to get away. What's your epitaph says that you
obsessed with happiness.
You're obsessed with happiness.
Or
that's
joy.
Pretty good.
And
your definition of happiness.
Yeah, and
is?
I would say joy more than happiness, and then jumping from joy to excitement or appreciation. Mm-hmm. Because joy, to me, joy is better than happiness in the sense that it encompasses more. And joy, I feel joy going to the gym. I feel joy taking a shower. I feel joy cooking my meal. I felt joy coming here, mm-hmm. on my way here, even though it was raining and I had to change my shoes and this and that. it's joyful to me. Life is joyful to me. I remember one time I was in Culebra, and the island Culebra, and there was a rainbow. So I went, I left my breakfast and I went to look at the rainbow, and they took videos and pictures and blah, blah, blah. And then the waiter was, "You've never seen a rainbow before?" Like, he thought it was my first time.
Yeah, yeah.
So this, only this tells you how joyful I was to see a rainbow.
See. No.
And when you get so happy with such little things all the time, every day, there's nothing that's going to take away your peace.
Yeah. You know, that's incredible, this statement. It says, you haven't seen it. So basically what he's saying is, I saw a rainbow when I was 4 years old, and ever since, every other rainbow I've seen, I don't pay.
No surprise.
I don't pay attention to. You know,
I mean,
wow.
how rainbows surprise me and delight me in so many ways. How can this happen in nature? I mean, rain is amazing, the sun, the clouds, but a rainbow is so perfect.
Yeah. And they're so different.
And so beautiful.
They're very different.
And with the ocean in the back in Culebra, it was like, wow.
You know, it reminds me of the story of my father. He loved desserts, and I can still see him just savoring, you know, every last little bit of a cream or what. But one of the ones was apple pie with chocolate ice cream.
Who doesn't love that?
And one day, he said, este es mejor apple pie con mantecado que yo he comido. He said, pero, Dad, you know, it's Howard Johnson. We've had this hundreds of times. And so, pero ¿cómo puedes decir eso? And he says, es que el que estoy comiendo ahora.
I love that.
You know, and it was, like, he didn't give it a lot of thought. It was just, you know, this is the one I'm having.
This is the one I'm having now.
You know, going to the rainbow, and that this is the rainbow I'm seeing now. There have been better ones, but this is fantastic. This is the one I'm seeing
this
now.
This is the one I'm
so,
seeing now.
When we come back, I want to go into the general teaching. But besides, we have about a minute before the end of the segment. And I just want to I want to make sure that people know who you are. Mm-hmm. Silvia is going to go into San Juan Rotary next week. And I met her, you know, in San Juan Rotary. She took a sabbatical there for about 4 or 5 months. And one of the things I like besides within the books, she brought someone to our San Juan Rotary gave a presentation at one of our San Juan Rotary on writing a book, and I've got one just about ready to go and all.
Excellent.
But I want you to sort of describe the three books and how you got into them, but I want to concentrate on this general teaching, which I think is so appropriate and so relevant to what's happening today.
Sure.
And to what this program's all about.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's. We've ended the segment, Hector, ¿verdad? Nah. So we'll be back right after pause. My guest is Dr. Silvia Fernandez Colorado. She's known, likes to be known as Dr. Soul, S-O-U-L. And we've become really good friends. I really appreciate the dialogue with her. So we'll be back after the pause.